ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
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 देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम् ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नास्तप्रायेषु पात्रेषु नित्यां भागवत सेवया भागवती तां श्लोके भक्ते भवती नास्तिके। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 9, text number 26, the passing away of Bhishma Dev in the presence of Lord Shri Krishna. At Maharaj Yudhisthira's inquiry, Bhishma Dev first defined all the classifications of castes and orders of life in terms of the individual's qualifications. Then he systematically, in twofold divisions, described counter-reaction by detachment and interreaction by attachment. The conception of four castes and four orders of life, as planned by the Lord Himself, Bhagavad Gita 4.13, is to accelerate transcendental qualities of the individual person so that he may gradually realize his spiritual identity and thus act accordingly to get free from material bondage or conditional life. In almost all the Puranas, the subject matter is described in the same spirit. And so also in the Mahabharata, it is more elaborately described by Bhishma Dev in the Shanti Purva, beginning from the 16th chapter. The Varnashram Dharma is prescribed for the civilized human being just to train him to successfully terminate human life. Self-realization is distinguished from the life of the lower animals engaged in eating, sleeping, fearing, and mating. Bhishma Dev advised for all human beings 9 qualifications. 1. Not to become angry. 2. Not to lie. 3. To equally distribute wealth. 4. To forgive. 5. To beget children only by one's legitimate wife. 6. To be pure in mind and hygienic in body. 7. Not to be inimical towards anyone. 8. To be simple. And 9. To support servants or subordinates. One cannot be called a civilized person without acquiring the above-mentioned preliminary qualities. Besides these, the brahmanas, the intelligent men, the administrative men, the mercantile community, and the laborer class must acquire special qualities in terms of occupational duties mentioned in all the Vedic scriptures. For the intelligent men, controlling the senses is the most essential qualification. It is the basis of morality. Sex indulgence, even with a legitimate wife, must also be controlled, and thereby family control would automatically follow. An intelligent man abuses his great qualifications if he does not follow the Vedic way of life. This means he must seriously make a study of Vedic literatures, especially in the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita. For learning Vedic knowledge, one must approach a person who is 100% engaged in devotional service. He must not do things which are forbidden in the Shastras. A person cannot be a teacher if he drinks or smokes. In the modern system of education, the teacher's academic qualification is taken into consideration without evaluation of his moral life. Therefore, the result of education is misuse of high intelligence in so many ways. The Kshatriya, the member of the administrative class, is especially advised to give charity and not to accept charity in any circumstances. Modern administrators raise subscriptions for some political functions, but never give charity to the citizens in any state function. It is just the reverse in the injunctions of the Shastras. The administrative class must be well versed in the Shastras, but must not take to the profession of teachers. The administrator should never pretend to become non-violent and thereby go to hell. When Arjuna wanted to become a non-violent coward on the battle of Kurukshetra, He was severely chastised by Lord Krishna. The Lord degraded Arjuna at the time to the status of an uncivilized man for his avowed acceptance of the cult of nonviolence. The administrative class must be personally trained in military education. Cowards should not be elevated to the presidential throne by dint of numerical votes only. The monarchs were all chivalrous personalities, and therefore monarchy should be maintained. Providing the monarch is regularly trained in the occupational duties of a king. In fighting, the king or the president should never return home without being hurt by the enemy. The so-called king of today never visits the war field. He is very much expert in artificially encouraging the fighting strength in the hope of false national prestige. As soon as the administrative class is turned into a gang of mercantile and labor men, the whole machinery of government becomes polluted. And we'll stop here because it's quite a long purpose. I'll finish it gradually. Om Agyanati Marandasya Gyanangana Salakaya Chaksurun Militam Yena Tasma Shri Gurave Nama Sri Chaitanya Mrum Vistam Shapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Gita Mayam Dadati Svam Patantikam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garada Shri Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. At Maharaj Yudhisthira's inquiry, Bhishma Dev first defined all the classifications of castes and orders of life in terms of the individual's qualifications. Then he systematically in twofold divisions described counterreaction by detachment and interreaction by attachment. Here, Bhishma Dev, the great grandsire of the Kuru dynasty, he is also a great philosopher. He is actually one of the Mahajans. So he is great Vaishnava. So it's not because he was Kshatriya that he was disqualified. Although Bhishma Dev was a powerful, very, very powerful Kshatriya, but he was also great Vaishnava. Therefore, he did not lack in anything. So many people may find it difficult to understand how a soldier, because Kshatriya means fighter, fearless fighter, frivolous, but at the same time, he has full of knowledge, full of jnana, because he is Vaishnava. Vaishnava means beyond all the material considerations. So he is explaining to Yudhisthira Maharaj the different castes and orders of the society. Society is a perfect structure. Om Purnamata Purnamidam Purna Purnamudachate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vishishate Ishavasya Midam Sarvam Yatkincha Jigajam Jigat Tena Tena Bunjita Magridakashispidana Kurvan evad karmani jivishek shitam sama. Evam tai nani te tosti na karma lipitate nare. So the Upanishads explain that the personality of Godhead is a perfect and complete. God is perfect and complete. Therefore, everything that comes from God is perfect and complete. So the entire creation of the Lord is perfectly equipped as complete wholes. Just like your body is a perfect unit. It is a complete unit. And it has perfect relationship with the overall energy of God. A nice example is just like your eyeballs. They are also an individual unit. Within the body, there are so many different units. Your stomach is a unit. Your eyeball is a unit. The hearing is another unit. There are so many different units. So the sun, that is also a unit. And there is perfect relationship between your eyeball and the sun. The sun is perfectly equipped to relate to the sun planet. Your arms are there, and the hands, they are very nicely created in order to provide foodstuffs. Just like you are picking up foodstuffs. To pick up foodstuffs, you need fingers. If your hand was just a stump, you would have a lot of problems. And what is the nature of picking up is to provide foodstuff for the stomach. And the stomach is perfectly equipped to, dissolve that foodstuff and to give nourishment to the body. The body is perfectly created to absorb those nourishments, vitamins, vitality, and then it has a waste system. Just like in any society, you have a waste system, isn't it? Because there are waste products that have to be, gotten rid of. So therefore you have what they call the sewage system in any civilized society. So similarly in the body, you have the same thing. So there is perfect relationship with the body. The arms are there to give defense. They are there to protect the body, just like if someone is attacking you, immediately your arms come up. It's automatic. You don't need to write a letter to find out what the arms are. They're automatically going on. They're coming up immediately to protect. The legs, they're immediately ready to run. As soon as there's danger, you immediately find yourself running. You don't have to send any signals. Immediately. Spontaneously. So, the arms are there, the belly is there, the legs is there, the head is there. As soon as there is some difficulty, you have to start thinking very quickly. Your brain must be fertile, working very quickly. So in that way, even though there are so many things going on, your body is perfectly equipped as a complete whole. There are so many complete units coming from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but they're all perfectly balanced. Everything is perfectly balanced. Just like this earth planet is floating in space. But it is perfectly balanced in relationship to the sun planet. If it makes 1 degree move, either way, 1 degree out, then immediately it'll become freezing cold or too hot. So, within the cosmic manifestation, there is also, just like on this planet, we see that big oceans, they are there, but they are being evaporated by the sun. This is called distillery, isn't it? The water is coming out to be distilled because water becomes polluted. And therefore, when water is in use, just like we are polluting so much water, but it goes back into the ocean, and again by mixture of salt. You know, they say that if you took all the salt out of the ocean, it would be 10 kilometers deep all over the planet. 10 kilometers deep. That much salt or even more. They make some speculation. But the point is, where does all that salt come from? Where does it come from? So salt is a preservative. So within the planet, the salt, the earth, the ocean, it is keeping the water very pure. 90-something% pure. Even though it has been polluted by man so much, but it is coming, again becoming purified by potassium and salt. But we can't drink salty water. We can't drink. So therefore, the Supreme Personality of God, it has created the sun, evaporates the water. The water again is carried by clouds, stored in the mountaintops as ice, and then distributed very nicely as rivers. Those rivers are flowing, and your body has arms. You can pick up a pot. You can go and get some water, isn't it? So your arms, they are creative. You weren't born with arms. Just think how stupid we'd all look. Trying to do things, isn't it? We would look very stupid if all of us were trying to pick up water from the rivers and we had no arms. And suppose you had no legs, you look even more stupid because you couldn't even walk down to the river. And if you didn't have hands, you wouldn't be able to pick up the food that is growing because of the cultivation by the water. The water is flowing from the mountains and it is nourishing all the land agriculturally. So you can pick up very nice vegetables, fruits. You can pick up very nice flowers. You can do so many things because it is all purnam, it is complete. And just like your body is male, but wherever there's male, there's also nearby a female, isn't it? By perfect arrangement, there's also female, because the male, he needs to enjoy. So enjoy means he has to have sense gratification. So wherever there are senses, very nearby there is sense gratification, isn't it? Whenever you see a bird, you'll always see the male, female. They're there. When there's two eggs born, usually there's one's male, one's female. It is a fact of life. So not only have we got senses, but there is very nice arrangement for sense gratification. Just like we need to see nice things, so the woman's body is very shapely, very beautiful for the eyes, isn't it? Man is very attracted to shapes. We like to see nice things, just like people like to look at people who've got nice faces. Isn't it? Automatically you're attracted. You're not attracted to some old broken down face. You want to see a nice face. So we like to see nice things. So therefore Krishna has created Ishavasyam Idam Sarvam. Everything that is animate and inanimate within this universe is owned and controlled by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So therefore one should only take those things which are naturally set aside as his quota. This is the beginning of civilization. The difference between the human and the animal is that the human actually discriminates. Animal does not. Animal couldn't care a damn who owns anything. Isn't it? What does he care? Do you think that one tiger is thinking, oh, that other tiger, that's his property, I'll go and leave him alone and wish him well? No. He'll attack him to get the foodstuffs. So therefore, we see that actually the difference between the human and the animal is that the human has the ability to recognize God. He has the ability to recognize that there is a plan behind creation. So this is very important. This is what education is all about, to understand that everything is resting on Krishna. Everything is resting on God. And that I am also resting on that energy. Just like I am resting on this floor, I am resting on this planet, I am resting in space, I am resting in the energy of God. And therefore, society is broken up very nicely where there has to be these divisions, chatur varna. These chatur means four varna. There are four varna because just like your body, it has four specific things. The head, the belly, the arms, the legs. It's very scientific. If you didn't have one of them, suppose you didn't have a belly, but you had very nice, big, strong arms, so you wouldn't be able to eat, so you would diminish and die. And if you had very nice arms and a lovely belly, but no head, you would also be in a bit of a problem. And so you can understand that if your body, you didn't have a certain part, then you would have to suffer. So therefore, the body, society, is perfectly arranged by the Supreme Personality of God. The head is there to discriminate, to make discrimination, because if you don't discriminate, you become a slave. Those who are less intelligent, they become slaves. Those who are fools. Those who don't have any intelligence, any power of discrimination. So therefore, the head, what is the head? The head is abode of intelligence. It is where the intelligence, buddhi, intelligence is there in the head. So we have to use the intelligence. Very, very important. If we don't use intelligence, then we become like animals. The difference between us and animals is only there in intelligence. Actually, they have bigger arms, bigger legs, bigger genitals, bigger stomach. They've got bigger noses. They've got bigger ears, isn't it? We can't compete with them. If we want to have a big, big belly, then an elephant can eat 100 kilo. If you try to eat 100 kilo of chapatis, you'll definitely burst. So therefore, we can't compete. And if you want genitals, there are animals that have huge genitals. You may be proud of your genitals, but they have very, very big genitals. Does that mean you feel that you're superior? No, they're much superior. And they can have sex every 5 minutes. They don't have to, like us, we may be lucky once a week, once a night, whatever. They can have every 5 minutes. They can eat until they, non-stop eating. Sleeping, they can snooze like anything. It's like bear, sleeps for months. So, we are not really competitor of these animals because they're very powerful. Just like you may be a very learned, very educated man, but if you see a tiger is coming, you'll run for your life. You see, because actually, when it comes to material nature, they're much more powerful than we are. So we are not trying to compete in that arena. Actually, what we are different is that we have intelligence and they don't. They don't have intelligence. They have only the ability to eat, sleep, mate, and defend. In other words, they are particularly equipped to satisfy their senses. That is what animal life means. Animal life means that I have very nice facility to satisfy my senses. So therefore, they are like machines. They are machines which are made up by material energy. Prakriti kriya manani. That the material nature is creating different types of machine, just like your machine. You have a machine. Just like when you have a machine, there are so many inventions today, machines that do different things. So you may create a machine that can consume something, just like you feed in something. So this body is like a machine. It has a mouth, and into that mouth you are pouring so many things, munching so many things, and then the machine is working in a certain way, like that. So this is mechanical, according to our karma and our quality. Just like you get a particular type of body, and it has a certain type of quality. If you've got a very lusty body, then you are always engaged in lusty affairs, isn't it? Always engaged, just like these pigeons, you see them. They're a very lusty body. Whenever you see pigeon, the male is always agitated. I've never seen a male pigeon who's not agitated. He's always agitated. He can't stop for 1 second. He makes this noise. His back goes up. Isn't it? Even he's never satisfied. He has sex once and then again, 2 minutes later, he's off again. Another female. So he has a very lusty body. Just like a crow. A crow has a very envious body. Very envious. He can't stand anyone is enjoying. He has to be jumping in there. He's always looking for opportunity to get in there and enjoy. Big beak. Big beak. So he's always running after the garbage, rubbish, whatever is there. He is all very crafty, very clever. Just like one time in India, I spat and the crow immediately caught it before it reached the ground. Very fast. But what is he? What is his business to chase after rubbish? You see, very well equipped. Even I don't think who can do such a thing. He's in the sky. I didn't see him. He was there. So very, very. What do you call it? Spectacular demonstration. But what is the business to chase after mucus? You see? So that is the business in the material world. We are all chasing after mucus. We may be disgusted with the crow, but we also are chasing after mucus. A woman's body is made up of mucus, phlegm, bile. That's what makes up the body. The constitution of the body is bile. You can, chemistry, you study it. Mucus, bile, made up of mostly, predominantly water. And some air is there, bag of air, so like that. So just like if you have a bag, fill it full of mucus and bile and air. So we are chasing after that like the crow, very expertly. So this is our business. So we should not degrade ourselves by these senses. Because the senses are the enemy to the soul. They are dragging the soul into various types of species, various types of degradation. So human form of life means where we declare war on the material energy. Therefore we need kshatriya. Kshatriya means they are kshatriya, to give protection, to protect society against demonic influences. Because there are so many demonic influences in society. So the brahmanas, they are there to find out the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the meaning of brahmana. Brahmana means one who is situated in Brahman, not situated on the belly platform, or the genital platform, or the tongue platform, or the ear platform, but to be situated on the Brahman platform. Therefore, a brahmana, he has to be characterized by knowledge. Because only by knowledge can you become free from illusion. The material world is full of ignorance. Ajñānata marandasya. It is full of ignorance, so we have to get rid of ignorance. Krishna says, armed with yoga, O Arjuna, stand and fight, armed with knowledge. So knowledge gives mastership. If we want mastership of anything in the material world, we need to understand it. Otherwise, how can you become master of something you don't even understand? Isn't it? Suppose I say to you, become a mechanical engineer. You have to learn, you have to understand what are the mechanics. Otherwise, how can you have mastership? So when you have a car and it's broken down, you bring along the guru. Guru comes, the master comes, even if you're, no matter who you are, you may be big, big Swami. If your car breaks down, you have to bring it to the mechanical guru. You see? And then he has knowledge, so he has mastership. Isn't it? He has mastership over that thing. Therefore, he can dismantle it, he can put it back together, he can change different units, he can do so many things. Because he knows what he's doing. If you do it, you'll end up in chaos. Because you don't have knowledge. So therefore, it is very important that the brahmana is situated in knowledge, because he must guide society. Just like if you, say you start a school on mechanical engineering and you never read one book on mechanics, or never even saw an engine, and the whole class is sitting there ready for instruction, what are you going to tell them? You're going to be a farce, a joke, isn't it? You say, yes, the engine, it runs on, what are they called, pistons? Something? There's some combustion. Any questions? So, what mastership can you give people? So the brahmana is there to give guidance to society so that people can master. What must they master? They have to master the senses. Therefore, Bhishma Dev advised that all human beings, they must be given these qualifications. So the mastership of material energy is that you develop qualifications, brahminical qualifications. We are in the material world, we are developing animal qualifications. We are learning how to become more lusty than the pigeon, more lusty than the elephant. You see, we are just learning how to become more and more, just like at least an animal will only eat what it needs, but we can kill millions, millions and millions of cows to fit them in our belly, just to give some pleasure to the tongue and the belly. Just like Prabhupada was in an airplane and he saw that they were eating this bit of meat on the plate. So Prabhupada said they will go to hell for that piece of meat. Why do they need to take? Just for that little bit of meat on their plate, they will go to hell. They will have to take a hellish birth. So therefore, this is needed, very much needed in society to understand that we are not in this material world to be subservient to the senses. We have to become master of the senses. And what is the nature of being master of the senses? That one will develop all good qualities. Good qualities. Vaishnava means good qualities. Not that we become like animal qualities. Calm, lust, crowd, anger, moh, different illusions. These are there in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains that it is this kama, asya, krodha, asya, this lust, this lustiness, it is the cause of all types of anger in this world. People are angry, they're quarreling, they're fighting, they're unhappy because they are very much absorbed in this illusionary energy, lusty energy of the material world. You'll never see a happy animal. Have you seen happy animals? They're always in anxiety. Where to find food? Where to find food? Where to find sex? Where to find this? Isn't it? You go out. Nature study. Go out. Stay in a field for one day. And you'll see. Everyone is in anxiety. Everyone is moving. Where can I find this? Where can I find that? And then they go for something and another bird comes. Peck, peck. Fight, fight. Isn't it? Just like if you go to Vrindavan, sometimes you give prasad to the dogs. And they're so busy fighting each other, no one gets the prasadam. You see, they're so busy to bite each other that the prasadam is lying there and they're all biting each other. You see, because of anger, because they're in anxiety in the material world. Full of anxiety. Kunta is full of anxiety because there is always struggle. Struggle for existence because we are all competitors with Krishna. We are competing. Therefore, this Isha Varsham is very important to be introduced in society. Unless you understand that God is the controller of everything animate and inanimate, it is resting on Him. Therefore, you should accept those things. Just like we are devotees. We don't work, but everything is provided. Everything. Everything is provided. Everything is there. You don't have to make such big endeavors. People think, oh, we have to, if we don't endeavor, because they think they're the Lord of the universe. If they don't endeavor, the whole world will fall apart. Everything will fall apart. But actually, by nature's arrangement, because you've got a tongue, tell me a time when there wasn't foodstuff coming to your tongue. From the moment you're born, the foodstuff is there in the breast of the mother. Even there's no food around, but in the breast of the mother, the milk is there. Immediately, arrangement is there. Everything is arranged. The child has a mouth and the mother has a nipple. So she can give the child a nipple and immediately foodstuffs. From the moment you're born right down to the time you die, you are always putting things in your mouth. Mention a time when you're not putting things in your mouth, only when you're asleep. Mouth is very busy, tongue is very busy. And not only for you, for millions and millions of creatures. Even I've seen in the African jungle, so many animals are there, and there are no shortage of food. They're all very fatty. You don't see them coming out of the jungle skinny. Big elephants, giraffes, lions, whatever. They're all very fatty, because Krishna is providing. He has made perfect arrangement. So all this struggle is all a struggle with illusion because we are not intelligent. The living entity is not educated. The brahmanas are not doing their job. So therefore society has become hijacked by the merchants and the sudras. The merchants, they are a mercantile community. They're like the belly. Belly is always in anxiety. Have you known about the belly? What's the nature of the belly? It's always in anxiety. You always have to be putting something in your belly. Always. In all the species, the belly is always a very important part. So the merchants, they're always in anxiety. How to get something, how to achieve something more, how to exploit, how to, like this. So the society in Kali Yuga has become overcome by merchants and sudras. What's the nature of sudras? They're always lamenting. The nature of a sudra, they're always lamenting. Oh, if only I had that, then I'd be happy. If only I had a new washing machine, then I'd be happy. If only I didn't live here, I lived somewhere else, then I'd be happy. If only I had a better husband, then I'd be happy. If only my kids weren't so horrible, then I'd be happy. So the sudras, because they create so much chaos, they're always unhappy. They themselves are creating the chaos, and they themselves are causing their own misery. Just like modern society, they have created so much misery for themselves, artificial. By combination of these merchants and sudras, everything is going to hell. Because the merchants, they're very lusty, very insecure people. Very insecure. They have no proper knowledge. They think that everything is resting on them. By my arrangement, so much wealth do I have today, and tomorrow I will accumulate more. He is my enemy, and I will kill him. I will get rid of him. This competition is going on. So therefore, society... Vedic civilization is perfectly set up so that the head is the leader of society. It will guide the society. Guide the society where? Back to home, back to Godhead. To take civilization back to home, back to Godhead. Not to take it down, down and down into the lower degradation of species. Just like we have a human body, but then we can lose this opportunity. We can become a hog body, dog body, rat body, cockroach body. All these different types of bodies are all awaiting for us. Just like when you go into a, sometimes into a big supermarket, what is not supermarket, a big clothes shop. So many different clothes are awaiting you. If you want to put on a tracksuit, it's there. If you want to put on a nice suit, a dinner suit, wedding dress, so many different things. According to your desire, the dresses are there. They're all waiting for you. Don't think that you're not going to get. If you have a desire, man proposes, God disposes. So these different types of bodies are awaiting you. So therefore, if you want to know what your future is, then just look around you in the material world. See what is there. That is your future in the material world. You may become a dog, you may become a hog, a giraffe, a budgie, something. You don't know what's coming. So therefore, this is not the goal of Krishna consciousness to lead people down to degradation, but it's to elevation. Therefore, Bhishma Dev explained systematically the twofold divisions described were counter-reaction by detachment and interreaction by attachment. This is the whole basis of Vedic civilization, that you counteract the material energy by detachment. The human is the only one who can be naturally detached. Of course, in the animal kingdom, there's detachment. Most of it is due to circumstantial detachment. But a human being can naturally become detached. Just like if you put a female species in front of a male species, generally in the animal kingdom, they can't just be detached. They're attached. But the human being, if you put a female in front of him, he can be totally detached. You see, detachment is the, if you like, the precious jewel. Therefore, austerity is the wealth of the Brahmana. Detachment, austerity. One has to detach himself from this material body. One has to become free from the attachment of the false ego, the material body. And one must become detached from the senses. Therefore, there's all of these different orders, such as what we call Brahmins. They are the most detached, the Brahmana. Brahmana will never engage himself in employment, ever. He would rather starve. He is detached. He has to be dependent on Brahman. Brahman is Krishna. So he depends on Brahman. So therefore he sets the example. A Brahmana is not supposed to be engaged in lusty activities. He has to set the example. Therefore he's always impoverished. He's always actually totally, just like Prabhupada gives that example. There's one famous Brahmana. He had disciples and he was living in a small hut. But all he had to his possession, he was a very, very learned Brahmana, very big Brahmana. He had many, many, many disciples. But he was simply, he had one tamarind tree. So the disciples would give him some rice and he'd mix it with the tamarind. So that's what he was taking. So the king, he wanted to offer him something. He said, you are such a great Brahmana, you shouldn't be living like this. He said, no, he said, I have everything. My disciples bring me rice, this tamarind tree is there, what else do I need? You see, there's another example in Krishnanagar in Mayapur, where the Maharaj of Krishnanagar, one great Vaishnava was there. So he was very much detached from the material world. So the king came to him, the Maharaj, he came to him, and he said, is there anything I can get you? He was asking that Babaji Maharaj, is there anything I can get you? He said, yes. He said, you move away from the sunshine. You're blocking my way. You're blocking the sun. So that is the nature of Brahmana. He doesn't care for all these things. Brahmana should be detached. He doesn't. Whatever Krishna wants, he will accept. If Krishna wants him to live in a palace, he lives in a palace. If he wants him to live in a just like local, I was reading about Lokanath, just how we sing this song, Lokanath. He is the Guru Maharaj of Narottam Das. So he used to have a dirty old blanket in Vrindavan. Vrindavan is very, very austere. I don't know if you know, Vrindavan is extremely austere. In the winter it's very cold, in the summer it's 120, 130 degrees. So he had one old blanket, that was his only protection. And he used to keep Krishna, when it was raining, he'd keep him in a, there's like a trees, they have this little hole in the tree. So he'd keep Krishna in there, and he would just sit there doing his japa, rain pouring on his head. Raghunath Das Goswami also, he would sit out doing his japa, something like 23 hours a day or something. So the sun is belting on his head, 120 degrees. So Radharani came there personally with umbrella to protect him against the sunshine. Another time some tigers were there, and he was doing his japa, and Krishna came and he chased the tigers away so that they wouldn't disturb, because they used to come to take water in Radhakund. Michelle, we are also like kamis, then how will they learn? So the whole principle of Brahminical culture is to be situated in full knowledge of Krishna and to give practical example. Brahmana gives practical example of life situated on the plane of Brahman. In other words, transcendental life. We have to show what is transcendental life so that people can see that there is another plane, not just this materialistic plane. So Brahmana should be very detached, very detached. And the Kshatriya, he is there to protect the Shastras. Kshatriya, Shastras, that we are controlled. The human civilization is controlled by Kshatriya, by Shastra. They are both those things which control. The society is to be controlled through the Shastras and through the Kshatriyas. The Kshatriyas are the protectors. They are the representatives, just like Krishna said in the Gita, of rulers, I am the monarch. The monarch is a ruler. So how do we get out of animal life? By being ruled. By being trained not to indulge in sense gratification, illicit activities. So therefore, the Kshatriyas were there to give protection, to protect society against evil influences. So they were there to administrate society, to make sure that everything was in proper order, so that the brahmanas could perform their duties. So in other words, that the shastras were being properly protected, the temples, the women are protected, the children are protected, society is protected. And then the vaishyas, the merchants, they are there to grow foodstuffs, to provide for the higher caste, to give food in charity, dana, to give food to the brahmanas, to give taxes to the kshatriyas. And then the sudras are there for working. They are by nature working people. A sudra is generally very much under the bodily concept of life. That's why we see that in modern civilization it is predominantly sudras. So they're very body conscious. Very, very body conscious. The whole civilization is based upon body. Just like you go out, everyone is showing off their bodies. All the shops, they have these artificial bodies. What are they called? Mannequins or something. They're also bodies dressed up in the shop windows, bodies on the streets, bodies here, bodies there, bodies, bodies everywhere. Isn't it? Busy bodies. They're all busy bodies. So sudra means body consciousness. He can't do anything because he's so much engrossed in his body that all he thinks about all day is his belly, his tongue, his genitals. That's all he thinks about. He has no other plane of thought. So sudras, they're always lamenting because the belly's never satisfied, the tongue's never satisfied, the genitals are never satisfied. So they're always lamenting. Oh, if only this, if only that, if only that. Therefore, if the sudras are not happy, like we see in modern society, they rebel, riots, strikes, complaining, never satisfied, always complaining. Trade unions, they made these huge trade union, official complaining. Not that even their own individual complaining is not enough. Now they have mass complaining. Just like these sudras, they're blocking up all the roads in France so no people can come off the ships, no people can go here. They block this, block that. simply because they're always lamenting, never happy. That's why no matter what you give a sudra, he'll never be happy. You give him more, he wants more. You give him more, he wants more. And what does he do? He wastes the whole thing. You give them wages, they go out and buy all these useless, stupid things. Or anyone knows that the biggest market is for the sudras. Because they spend, isn't it? They've all got these, what is it, satellite dishes? You see them, all these sudras. Because sudra means duratma. Duratma means very narrow-minded. The sudra, quality, very narrow-minded. They're very narrow. They don't have very broad perspective, isn't it? You see them on the street. They have no perspective. They're simply narrow. Their focus is totally on their belly. They're always smoking, drinking, eating, sex. They're, you know, they go into the hamburger stand and then straight into the pub, and then they light up a cigarette, and then they take a drink of this and a smoke of that, and then what comes out? Prajalpa. Simply they talk rubbish, talk nonsense. So the society has become overruled by sudras. So it is a very degraded society, full of sudras. Kaloa Sudra Sambhavad. In this Kali Yuga, everyone is born lower than sudras. So everyone is always lamenting. No one is happy. Everyone is in anxiety. Oh, is it this, is it that, this thing, that thing. Not happy because they're ignorant. Dull-headed. Like bricks. Their heads are like bricks. Because there's nothing going on in there. So therefore, the sudra, he has to be engaged in support. Just like the legs at his table. They're not very useful, but they're good for support. They give support, isn't it? So the sudra, he supports the higher caste because his function is that. So this is perfect order. And then the brahmana's business is to take all of those other sections of society back to home, back to Godhead. To take them back to Brahman, where they come from, where they belong. So the brahmana has big responsibility. Therefore, we are brahmanas, we have to distribute Vedic knowledge. The business of brahmana is to distribute Vedic knowledge. So we'll read quickly. The Vaishyas, the members of the mercantile communities, are especially advised to protect the cows. Cow protection means increasing the milk productions, namely curd and butter, agriculture, and distribution of the foodstuffs are the primary duties of the mercantile community. Backed by education in Vedic knowledge and trained to give in charity. As the Kshatriyas were given charge of the protection of the citizens, Vaishyas were given the charge of protection of animals. Animals are never meant to be killed. Killing of animals is a symptom of barbarian society. For a human being, agricultural products, fruits and milks are sufficient and compatible foodstuffs. The human society should give more attention to animal protection. The productive energy of the laborer is misused when he is occupied by industrial enterprise. Industries of various types cannot produce the essential needs of man, namely rice, wheat, grains, milk, fruits and vegetables. The production of machines and machine tools increases the artificial living fashion of a class of vested interests and keeps thousands of men in starvation and unrest. This is a typical example in Africa. They gave them all these huge machines for cultivating the land. Thousands of tractors and what is these big conveyors. So many things. They're all lying idle there. Totally wasted. Because down there, they're very simple. There's some food there, they pick it off the tree and eat it. The food is growing abundantly. This idea that they starve is a load of rubbish. They're not starving. They're actually eating very nicely. And because there's abundance, so much abundance. So actually, although they're sudra-type people, they're very intelligent. Because if you ask them, they say, what do I need? I've got food, I've got a wife, I've got a cow. They live like that, very simple. Nice weather. So therefore they sent down all this machinery, millions of pounds, and it's all wasted, useless. Because by nature, actually, people they don't need. You can't eat nuts and bolts. You can't eat. If you're hungry, do you think if someone brought you a nice plate of stainless steel nuts, you'd feel excited? You can't eat it. So all of these things, they're ugra. Ugra means unwanted. They're unnecessary. Ugra karma. They're unnecessary. But society is creating so many things that are useless. But actually, all the things which are essential, they are provided by God. There's no factory that can produce one raisin. Not even one currant or raisin can you produce in all. If you took all the factories in the world, ICI, IBM, whatever you want to call them, Silicon Valley, the whole lot of them, they couldn't come out with one raisin if you were hungry. Not one peanut. But therefore, they're all useless because all people want to do is eat. That's all people want to do anyway. They want to have a good meal, a nice bit of sex, sleep. That's it. And somewhere nice to live. They don't, you know, all these other things, they're just additions. Because the basic principle, you may have, just like if you're sitting in a big factory full of televisions, but if you can't eat, what is the use? Man requires food, foods and fruits and vegetables, milk products. Therefore, Vedic society is very scientific. Protect the cow and produce agricultural produce. The Sudra class is less intelligent, should have no independence. They are meant for rendering sincere service to the three higher sections of a society. Now one may say that's very cruel, but actually Sudras, if you give them independence, they cause chaos. Chaos, because by nature they are, angry people. That's why all of these big wars, Second World War, Crimean War, they're all started by Sudras. You see? Because they're lamenting over, I want more land, I want more this. So all of these fighting is going on by Sudras. They're all Sudras. The leaders are all Sudras. So they cause so much chaos because they are simply less intelligent. So they should never be given independence because they'll cause chaos. Just like this independence now for abortion. Killed. They have this, on one hand in society, they're spending millions and millions of pounds how to preserve life. On the other, they're spending millions and millions of pounds killing it in the womb. Complete idiots. On one hand, they want to preserve the life of someone who's 86 years of age. They want to give them another 10 years. And the young child coming out of the womb, they kill it before it even walks. You see? What a mad society. On one hand, they're looking after some old, beaten up old body of 80 or something, keeping them alive when they should be gone anyway. You know, they're just hanging them in there. These people, they're not even happy. They just keep them hanging in. But the young baby, unborn baby in the womb, millions and millions and millions they kill and throw them in the dustbin. So what is that? So that is the Sudra, because they have no intelligence. They are devoid of any intelligence. Therefore, they do all sorts of crazy things in the name of so-called advancement of society. Just like they have this huge industry for replacing old hips. They put new hip in, new legs, new arms, big, big industry. But the little baby who has a nice little body, they kill it. Little baby doesn't need anything, isn't it? Doesn't need any new hips or old hips. It has just nice body. But they kill the young little baby body they kill, and this old decrepit body, they spend millions just making them, putting in a new part here, a new part there. Practically in your body now, you can get any new part you want. If you want a new part, keep it going. For what? What is the purpose of keeping it going? So that they can drool more, so they can lie around more. What is the point? Useless. So they don't understand how nature works. So therefore they think that they're the masters of material nature. By my adjustments, things are going on. You see? So therefore, when something is being created by God, they kill it. And when something is being so-called preserved by them, they preserve it. This is their atheistic demonic mentality. So they should never be given independence because they're demons. And it is especially enjoined that a Sudra should never have a bank account, bank money. As soon as the Sudras accumulate wealth, it will be misused for sinful activities in wine, women, and gambling. Wine, women, and gambling indicate that the population is degraded to less than the Sudra. As soon as you give people money, they want to drink, intoxicate themselves. They want to eat meat, intoxication, gamble, illicit sex. That's all that's going on. If you go to these cities, what is it full of? Pubs. Just like Ireland, Dublin probably has more pubs than any other city for its size in the world. Well, so what is a pub? Simply getting intoxicated. So that is because it's run by Sudras. Sudras, they have no intelligence. They think intoxication is a good thing. But actually, anyone who looked at someone who's intoxicated can see the guy looks like a complete idiot. Isn't it? A complete idiot. They don't, even intoxicated people don't like intoxicated people. Isn't it? That's how bad it is. So they spend all these millions and millions of pounds promoting intoxication, and then they wonder why the society is such a what do you call it, violent, demonic society. And they have these big research institutes for looking into social behavior. Why did that guy go in and shoot up 28 kids in a school? Because they don't understand. They're pumping out all this intoxication, demonic videos, demonic this, demonic that, and then they produce demonic people. And then they wonder, why is everyone so demonic? So, the higher caste should always look after the maintenance of the sutras, and they should provide them with old and used garments. A sutra should not leave his master when the master is old and invalid. And the master should keep the servant satisfied in all respects. The sutras must first of all be satisfied by sumptuous food and clothing before any sacrifice is performed. In this age, so many functions are being held by spending millions, but the poor laborers are not sumptuously fed or given charity, clothing, etc. The laborers are thus dissatisfied, and so they make agitation. The varnas, so to speak, classifications of different occupations in ashrama dharma, is gradual progress on the path of self-realization. Both are interrelated, and one is dependent on the other. The main purpose of ashrama dharma is to awaken knowledge and detachment. The Brahmachari Ashram is the training ground for the prospective candidates. In this ashram, it is instructed that this material world is not actually the home of the living being. The conditioned souls under material bondage are prisoners of matter, and therefore self-realization is the ultimate aim of life. The whole system of ashram dharma is a means to detachment. One who fails to assimilate the spirit of detachment is allowed to enter into family life with the same spirit of detachment. Therefore, one who attains detachment may at once adopt the fourth order, namely renounce, and thus live on charity only, not to accumulate wealth just to keep his body and soul together, but just to keep his body and soul together for ultimate realization. Household life is for one who is attached, and the vanaprastha and sannyas orders of life are for those who are detached from material life. The Brahmachari Ashram is especially meant for training both the attached and detached. So therefore, the whole business is Jnana and Vairagya. They are the sons and daughters of bhakti. So therefore, the whole business is to cultivate bhakti, devotional service, and to be very careful to become detached. So that's why, out of all the four orders of what we call Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas, only one of them is allowed association with women for sexual activity. That's because we have to become detached. Detached. So, Vedic society was set up so that the living entity could go back to home, back to God. Gradual process, not artificially pretending, but gradually. One can see, just like if you have a wife, anyone who's lived with a wife, then they can understand after some time that all the rosy, so-called romantic ideas actually go out the window. And actually what you're left with is loads of suffering. So then they can give all that up. Once they've gone through it all and they've seen, just like Prabhupada said, some people can give up, renounce the gulabjaman, and some people they have to eat them and then give them up. So, you can do it either way, but the goal is detachment. You don't get married so that you can simply, oh yes, here I am now, I'll settle down. Life's, it's all cozy, rosy. And I'll just settle here and have a good time. No, because always death is knocking on the door. You'll have to give up this body. So household life was not meant for creating more attachment, but rather it was for gradual detachment. So therefore the brahmacharis have to be trained before they take up household life. If you're not trained and you go into household life, you will definitely become victimized because there's no actual intelligence. You will not be able to withstand the onslaught of material energy. So therefore, Brahmachari was trained up in all of the different divisions of knowledge, divisions of renunciation, so many things. So the first 25 years, from 5 to 25, the Brahmachari is trained how to become detached. detached, so that then he's able to give up once he, because when you're trained, then you can see things as they are. You can see. You're not bewildered. So therefore, the brahmachari, he becomes a renounced householder. Renounced householder means he doesn't become grihamedi, but rather he becomes also brahmachari grihastha. Brahmachari grihastha means one who follows very strictly, as Krishna said in the Bhagavad Gita, I am that sex life which is according to religious principles. So that is also brahmachari life. It is pure. But if you don't have the strength of brahmachari life, then you become like, also like these pigeons. You become same thing. You become like cat, dog, pigeon, hog, same business. So brahmachari was trained for both attachment and detachment. But this is a science that how you live this life, and gradually you see by the strength of Vedic knowledge, shastra chakshush, by the vision of shastra, you can see everything. And then gradually you can give it all up. So the whole business is to give up, just like your lifetime. You may do so many things in your lifetime, but the last thing you'll do is give it all up. Isn't it? You may do so many things in your lifetime, but the last thing you'll actually do is give the whole lot up, lock, stock and barrel. So therefore the whole business of Vedic civilization was to prepare you for that moment of giving it all up. Because if you don't give it up at that time, again you come back and take on a whole load more. You only get one chance in life, and that's the time of death. That's the real opportunity. And if you miss it, then you're very unfortunate. So therefore the whole training, because if we look in the history of mankind, look back as far back in history as you want, the one thing you know is that they're all dead. Isn't it? You may not know what they did when they were alive. You may not know what wife they had or children they had or if they drove a car or whether they had to play football or whether they went to the pub every night. But one thing you know is that they're all stone dead. So that means that the one thing is sure is that you're going to end up with them. So you have to prepare yourself. Not to become cozy yoga. We're not teaching cozy yoga, where you become the science of getting cozy, isn't it? We're not, the Krishna consciousness is not about learning how to become more cozy in the material world. It is for getting out of the material world. Yoga means to detach yourself from matter and attach yourself to Krishna. See? Detachment for one and attachment from the other. And material life is to attach yourself to the material illusion and detach yourself from Krishna. So human being is the only one who can make a choice. And if you give up that choice, you lose the power of having the choice. Krishna will take away the ability to make the choice. At least now you can make a choice. But when you become a crow or whatever, you won't have any choice. So therefore human form of life is very, very, very important, because it is a great gift. Very wonderful gift from nature. So we'll stop there. Is there any questions at all? Anyone have? Points, questions?
When we were north in Vishnuri, what you were saying about the Sutra class reminded me very much of that. But at the time I was just thinking, how is it possible to kind of elevate those people? Because they wouldn't even have the intelligence probably to understand the books.
Yeah, so then you have to give them lots of prasadam. Prasadam, and give them some kirtan and some philosophy. Prabhupada said generally prasadam and kirtan. In certain countries where there's a lot of sutras, or people, many times we went on Prabhupada programs, and he would just say, give them prasadam, kirtan, prasadam. It was so degraded. So, even they can't even understand philosophy. But at least we give them prasadam, and give them kirtan, and something will waken up. But we must, first of all, we have to grab the Brahmins, the devotees. We must go out and grab. That's why we give out the books. The books are for the devotees. Even if you give out 1 million books and only one devotee comes, they're the one we're after. The other 99.9%, what can we do? For that one, at least they can lead. One man can lead a whole planet back to God. You see, one brahmana, he can lead. Just like if you have 80,000 blind people, but one man can see, he can guide them all to some safe destination. But if you have 80,000 blind men and one very blind man leading them, then they're all going to end up in a ditch, isn't it? So we have to go and capture the Vaishnavas, the devotees. So that's our business. We're going out there to bring back Krishna's devotees, and then those devotees have the responsibility of taking everyone back to home, back to Gaya. But this kirtan is very, very important. Kirtanya Siddhahari, this kirtana, is very, very important in Kali Yuga, because it is so powerful, it can penetrate the lead head. Just like in your head, you have all this lead. So it can cut through all the different elements and go straight to the soul. Even if their head is full of, like, what do you call, marble. But it can cut through. It can cut even marble. It's like you have these lasers now. They can cut through anything. So the holy name is like a powerful laser. It can cut through everything. Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam Apuranam Ki Jai. Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. Oh, donations. Very good.